the facts. We don't know when old Ragbones rolled into town, or Bedfordshire for that matter, and started his itinerant life. In fact, that might be a useful piece of information. If you remember old Ragbones being in Biggleswade or the surrounding area before 1996, it would be very useful to know that. But a word of caution, please listen to the later section about the other similar characters to our mystery man who had been resident in the area for a much longer period of time and are often confused with old Ragbones. But what we do know is that on Thursday, February the 6th, 1997, some schoolboys who were playing truant discovered old Ragbones' body. Here's what one of the young lads, now in his 40s, told me about that discovery. His words are voiced by an actor.
In 1997, I was 14 years old. We found the body of old Ragbones in a makeshift tent down by the wreck, quite close to the A1 cow tunnels, just off the track that leads to the cow tunnels. He'd made a makeshift shelter over a small tent that he'd passed away in. It was quite scary to find old Ragbone's body, especially a dead body. No support was offered, as you say. Things back in the 90s were so different to today's world. Today, there's support offered after trauma. I personally only knew of old Ragbone's from hanging round the town centre, the bus station. It was a popular meeting place, as it was sheltered and had seats and toilets. Ragbones would occasionally stop, sit with us. He drank rum out of a paper bag and often smoked roll-ups. He never really said much, but he did mention he used to live and work in London. He was a sad-looking man, very quiet and didn't say much. He did look scruffy in the face, but always dressed smart. Since his death, there's been a few posts and info on the news. People have reached out to me. Someone must know who he is.
I was also fortunate enough to receive a statement from the police officer who was first on the scene. He's now retired from the police, and an actor also reads his statement.
I was working in the scene of crime office at Biggleswade Police Station at the time. From memory, I think I was in the front office dealing with a stolen car when two young boys came running in, saying that they had found a body. As all units were busy, the sergeant asked if I would go with them to see what they were on about. I went with the youngsters and they led me to a small copse of trees near to the A1. This was at the rear of Franklin's recreation ground. There was a small encampment where it was obvious that someone was living. Here, sadly, we found a small shelter, and it is also here that we discovered the deceased. He was lying under the makeshift tent with his feet visible. His feet were sticking out from under the covers, and from this it was obvious that he had died. Later, it was determined he had been in this state for about 2 weeks. I was the first police officer on the scene, and it was treated as a crime scene until the autopsy was completed. I don't think there was an extensive investigation once the cause of death had been established. The autopsy report gave us the cause of death as a brain tumour, so natural causes. I think I attended the autopsy, which happened a couple of days after he was found. I was there to ensure continuity with the investigation. His details and description were circulated and then passed to the missing persons unit at Greyfriars Police Station, which was normal practice at the time. I did know of the deceased, but I hadn't been aware of his nickname, which was Old Ragbones. I knew of him because he was often in the town centre area and he must have been checked by police at some time, but no connection could be made back to who the man really was. There were quite a few police officers based in Biggleswade at the time, but as far as I can remember, no one could identify him by name or where he had come from. This was, as far as I can recall, the only case in my career as a police officer where we were unable to identify the deceased. I worked on several missing persons cases, but they would almost always turn up in a few days. As for this poor fella, somebody must know who he was.
Now, the place where Ragbones' body was found, where he'd lain for 2 weeks without being disturbed, it seems, is very close to the A1, as is mentioned in the statements. It's on the edge of a field. There are trees and there are cow tunnels, which are there so that the cows can safely pass from Water Meadow to the fields on the other side without crossing the A1. It's loud with traffic. Even in the 1990s, the A1 would have been an extremely busy road. But it's also not far from the river. There's plenty of birds, wildlife. It's a strangely peaceful spot, considering it's so close to the A1. There's something hypnotic about that white noise of traffic, of the river, and of the nearby weir. It's also not far from the recreation ground. So on warm or clear winter days, you can hear the shouts and laughter of children as you walk in that area. It's also opposite where Biggleswade Castle once stood. So it's a historic part of Biggleswade. Thursday, February the 6th, 1997 is the date that Old Ragbone's body was discovered. Do you remember that discovery? Do you remember anything that was said about him that might help identify him? To help jog your memory about February 1997, here are some key facts about that time. The Hale-Bopp comet was bright in our skies at night, but it would get brighter still come April. The environmental protester Swampy had just been evicted from tunnels under the A30 near Newbury. East 17's Brian Harvey was splashed all over the tabloids for getting in a fight, and Princess Diana was also on the front pages. It was a month since she'd called for a ban on landmines. That iconic image of her wearing body armour was everywhere. In entertainment, The X-Files was on BBC One at 9 p.m. on Thursday the 6th of February, followed by The Frank Skinner Show. And on EastEnders that night, Phil was battling addiction. Your Woman by Whitetown was still high in the pop charts, along with Ain't Nobody by LL Cool J. Blur, U2, En Vogue and No Doubt were high in the charts. Evita starring Madonna was the number one film. There was great excitement for the release of the Nintendo 64, which happened on the 1st of March 1997. And in sport, Dennis Bergkamp was rumoured to be the highest paid footballer in the Premiership on what was then a staggering £50,000 a week wage package at Arsenal. And on Thursday the 6th of February 1997, the quarterfinals of the Master Snooker was played, including a match with Ronnie O'Sullivan, where he beat Stephen Hendry. The final that Sunday was won by Steve Davis, however. And in Biggleswade, that week the funeral of a well-known and loved townsman, Bruce O'Dell, was held. He had worked in Biggleswade Brewery for almost 50 years. There was also headline news in the local newspapers about schoolchildren from Samuel Whitbread Upper School being stranded miles from home due to bus problems. That was the time that our mystery Biggleswade man, Old Ragbones' body, was found. He'd been dead for around 2 weeks, it was estimated. So the illustrations that we have of him are just that. They're illustrations, not photographs. He's described as being a white European male, possibly in his 50s, though I have seen a very sad estimate of between 40 and 100. That's not an uncommon estimate for deaths of unidentified homeless people who have been sadly deceased for some time before being found. But 50 seems to be a sensible estimate, meaning our mystery man could have been born in the 1940s, but possibly the 1930s, or later in the 1950s. He wasn't tall, at around 5'4", and he was slim. In fact, he weighed only 5.5 stone at his death. He had blue eyes and grey collar-length hair and a full beard. There are illustrations on the blog, weirdinthewade.blog, showing him with and without the beard. He's also described as having bad teeth, I'm guessing from decay, but also possibly they were uneven. He did have a very distinctive tattoo on his arm, and we think it's his lower arm. And tattoos were far less common back then, particularly in men of his age. A picture of this tattoo is also on the show blog. It's a heart with a woman's face above it, almost coming out of the heart. The face is very distinctive. She's wearing either sunglasses or a blindfold, and she has curls of black hair piled up on top of her head. There's a banner across the heart with a word on it, possibly a name, which is sadly obscured. It could say Patsy, Patty, Betsy, or Betty. Do have a look at it. There's something about it that seems familiar to me. Is it a pop culture reference? Or someone close to him? When he passed away, our mystery man also had with him an Accurist chronographic watch with a broken silver or stainless steel strap. Chronographic watches are the ones with extra dials on the watch face. I found a pre-1990s Accurist chronographic watch with a main face and then smaller stopwatch dials, a 24 o'clock dial and a days of the week dial on it. This watch would have been expensive at the time, and Accurist was a brand worn by celebrities in the 1960s, like Twiggy and the Beatles, as well as royalty. Our mystery man was found wearing a gold or yellow metal signet ring, and he was dressed in a black blouson zip-up jacket with a grey wool lining, a black crewneck jumper, and black t-shirt and trousers. In life, he didn't share his name with those he met, and he had no identification with him when he died. He was a quiet man and kept himself to himself. He worked sharpening tools at local businesses and farms for food and possibly cash in hand. He was known to frequent Biggleswade, Sutton, Langford, Astwick and Clifton. Finally, his cause of death was a brain tumour. We'll look at that in more detail in a moment and the rumours which circulated around him in connection with this illness. But here are some questions I have for you. Do you recognise that tattoo? What about the description and images of our mystery man along with that chronographic watch? Did old Ragbones visit your farm or business or pub? Did he ever let slip anything about his identity? Remember, he was short, a slight man, quiet, polite and well-spoken. Do you remember his distinctive green bike with sharpening tools on it? Did you ever see that bike after February 1997? We're not even sure if it was found with his body. I have heard reports that he would even ride that bike along the busy A1. If you have any information that might be useful, please contact Locate International or Bedfordshire Police. Details are on the blog and also at the end of this episode. And here's an anecdote about our mystery man from a Biggleswade woman named Angela. I remember him and the news when he was found. Before he passed away, I was in town one day with my two daughters, aged 8 and 4 at the time, and he stopped and he said, "Beautiful children," and gave them 10p each. We said thank you, and he just waved his hand and he went on his way, didn't say anything else, and I never saw him again. It made me wonder at the time if he had lost contact with his own children. The rumours. Understandably, there were a lot of rumours about old Ragbones when he was alive, as well as after his death. By the 1990s, it was becoming more unusual for people to live that kind of itinerant life. He wasn't a New Age traveller, nor it seems part of the traditional Romany or Irish traveller community. He was just one man alone, travelling around Bedfordshire, working for food and possibly cash in hand. One rumour was that he had worked in London. In fact, our witness who discovered his remains remembers old Ragbones saying as much when he was alive. But a more detailed rumour was that he had worked in the city with a good job, but had given it all up and dropped out, as they used to say. Nowadays, we might say he chose to live off the grid. He chose this life because he had been given a diagnosis of a terminal illness. We know he died of a brain tumour. If it's true that he knew he had a terminal illness,